there.
Hey, this is Jace Everett.
This is Dan Cohen.
And this is our stupid attempt at having a podcast.
I like it when you said, this is us talking into microphones.
Yeah, this is us. Well, I said that, but then some other things got said. And
yeah, we had to start over.
We actually deleted.
Yeah.
Actually, I didn't delete it because I may need it later to use against you.
That's myself. That's what I would do.
But things kind of went off the rails a little bit.
It got pretty offensive.
Words were said. Anyway, this is Jace Everett and Dan Cohen talking into microphones. And sometimes we sing in the microphones. And Dan is faux singing right now. There's a playback in his head. And we've got a bunch of tour dates coming up. We'll probably be doing those tour dates by the time this podcast is up.
Mm-hmm.
Really, I don't know how anything in life works, including podcasting. So we're making this widget, and then we're going to figure out how to get this widget to you and your widget.
I don't even know what a widget is.
Well, that's the beauty of a widget. It can be anything.
Or a gluten. I don't really know what gluten is.
Gluten's like it's a syrup, I think. It's a syrup that makes you fat.
Okay. I can stay away from that.
Or a powder.
Yeah.
Or some. it's glutinous.
Oh. Mm. Hey, you know what we should do? Before when we tried previously and had to stop because things got offensive.
They really did.
Words were said, mistakes were made.
They really were.
We were talking about life
don't,
on...
Don't.
No, okay, we were talking about life on the road. We were talking about sleeping and sleeping patterns and how you have difficulty getting to sleep. And
how you have no difficulty getting to sleep.
No difficulty.
Dan can sleep literally for 12. I have gotten up. We've played a show. Gone to bed about 1 o'clock in the morning, and very often, to let you know how successful we are, Dan and I usually share a room, sometimes a bed, not for any reason other than we love each other. There's always two beds in the room.
And sometimes it's cold.
Sometimes you need to cuddle after a show. It can be very draining. No, but we often share a room, and we'll be in bed by 1 o'clock, 1:30 in the morning. I'll get up around 8:30 or 9 and go do something manic and freaked out. And I'll come back around 11. Dan's still asleep. So I'll go out and I'll get some lunch. I'll come back around 2:30. Dan will still be asleep. Then around 3 or 4, I know we have to leave at 6 to go to soundcheck. So it's 3:30. So I'm packing because that's my personality. Because, something's got to happen in 2 hours. So I need to get ready immediately so I can... Yes, wait and make everyone uncomfortable, including myself. Dan will continue to sleep, and I will wake him up, and he'll go, oh, okay. And he'll get ready in 5 minutes, and we'll go. We'll come back for sound check, and we'll come back to the hotel. The show's not for 3 hours, and Dan will jump on his bed, put on his headphones, go, well, it's been a big day. And he'll sleep for fucking 2 hours more before the show. And I don't know how he does it.
Yeah.
And you don't drink alcohol.
No.
And you're not taking drugs.
No.
And I'm popping vitamins. And
you're popping some melatonin.
Yeah, drinking
some,
6 or 7
Benadryl,
beers.
Alka-Seltzer.
Alka-Seltzer, just lay there with my eyes wide open, staring at the ceiling, thinking about all my insecurities and what they're doing right now.
Yes.
Wonder what my insecurities are doing right now.
I just dropped in to see what condition my insecurities are in.
Dude. Yeah, but I listen to, that's where I listen to music is on the road. I don't listen to music at home much. I listen to more music on the road. I listen to podcasts and stuff at home because I'm busy. And when I listen to music, I kind of have to focus on it. I get obsessed with a record, like this new Jason Isbell record. Well, new. It's new to me. I think it's like 6 or 7 months old, called Southeastern. It's amazing. But I can't listen to it very much because I get obsessed with it, and that's not good for me as a songwriter, because he's a monster songwriter, and I want to.
That doesn't inspire you, though. That
it does, but I have to turn it off so that I'm like, okay, I gotta find my cover me up, you know.
I hear that.
And so I listen to a lot of podcasts and stuff at home when I'm in writing mode. But on the road, I listen to music, and in particular, my go-to guy is Brian Eno. I listen to his ambient stuff from like the 70s and early 80s, and it just chills me out. And Dan hates it.
Yeah. I mean, hate is a strong word, but I'm going to use it here. Because it's sort of le mot juste.
Wow.
Thank you. My dad told me.
Is that like the just mot?
Yeah, the just mot. Yeah, this just like what you choose to listen to. The stuff that relaxes you is astounding to me because it's sort of, there's this one song. What's it called?
Sky Saw.
Sky Saw. You were going to play it.
Yeah, I'll play a second of it.
Yeah, and there's this saw sound in it that's, I don't understand you. It's just weird.
Check out Sky Saw. It's great. I'll play 20 seconds of it. That's a good tune, man. That the dissonance of that calms me down because it lets me know that the dissonance going on in my brain, I'm not alone. There's other people that are as fucked up as I am, and now I can go to sleep.
I can think of a parallel in literature.
Okay.
Glad to hear it. I've been reading the Dexter books.
Oh, wow. Those were books. Were they books or were they like comics?
No, they're books. Full-on books. Novels. Jeff Lindsay.
That's the author? Wrote,
yeah. The first one is Darkly Dreaming Dexter. And the first book, I didn't... The plot is fantastic, but the writing is much better in the second, third, and fourth books. And I don't know about spoilers or whatever, but the books are really different than the TV series. In the books, Rita's kids, Cody and Aster, have a dark passenger also because of being beaten and abused by their father. So Dexter is teaching them the way his dad taught them to basically grow up to be serial killers.
Yeah, I have a real problem with that show.
Yeah? As a father?
Yeah, and also as a member of society.
Oh, but what I was talking about was like, whenever Dexter's driving in Miami traffic, which is apparently notoriously horrible for, he's calmed by the screeching and the horn blasting and the fingers and the yelling.
I get that
down.
I get that way in New York.
That's
when I'm in Manhattan, I get so chilled.
I get numb to it, but I don't. It doesn't actually calm me down.
Well, it probably doesn't calm me down. It just gives me a sense of equilibrium. Like the stuff going on in my head is equal to the stuff going on in front of my face.
Yeah.
And so it gives me a sense. I've never lived there. I mean, I'd probably hang myself if I lived in Manhattan for 3 months. But
yeah. I always thought I wanted to live in New York for 6 months or a year at some point in my life, and now I'm like, maybe not.
Well, we're not young men.
That's true.
We're not young men, and we're not rich men.
Well, we are young. We are young men.
Well, if young, you mean like sophomore?
No, I mean we're young men.
Really?
Yeah. Well, it depends. We don't know yet.
I have a feeling that I'm not going to ever be 82.
Really?
So I'm at least middle-aged. I know that's not what people mean by middle age, but I mean, I guess middle age now is considered late 50s, but I think that's because the people who are saying that are in their early 60s.
Yeah.
They're moving the goalposts, I think is what's happening.
Yeah. But you're always talking about yourself, how old you are.
Dude, I've been a dad since I was 22.
Yeah. But you're not old.
I've got the body of a 39-year-old easily. not an in-shape 39-year-old.
Yeah.
Can you
run a mile
without
stopping?
Yeah.
And you're still young.
I would probably throw up. I do about 2 miles a day with my dog.
Yeah, you're still young, dude.
But I don't run that. I walk really quickly.
I'm just going to keep saying it.
Okay.
It's
going
to be my mantra. You're still young.
Okay, we are young and we are beautiful.
Yeah. We are.
All right. Well, Dan's obviously in a really positive space right now, so I can't really talk to him. But
yeah,
we'll talk about other stuff.
Yes.
Positive space. We've got dates. Go to dancohenmusic.com.
That's right.
And you can see Dan's solo shows coming up in May in Norway, and then in the U.S. in June and July, and even August, you're playing shows all across the country.
All across the country. There's, right now, dates are still coming in, but as of last time I checked, there's an average of like 1,000 miles between shows.
You're kidding me.
Well, it's an average. As I said, the Western...
Dude, you can't drive. You're not going to drive all that.
Yeah, I am. I'm going to drive all that.
Dude, that's like a 14-hour drive.
That is a lot of 14-hour drives.
So you're going to do a show and then get up in the morning and drive for 14 hours and do a show?
That's only going to happen for like a few days out west. There's a lot of East Coast stuff, and that'll be all together. And then I'm in
Texas. How are you
going to
get your 12 hours a day of sleep in?
Well, that's going to be rough.
You need to get a guy. You're going to need a guy.
Who wants to come with me?
I'm
sell merch.
I'm very busy
on the coffee house tour and venues where no one shows up. 2014 Bluebird. DanCohenMusic.com.
Dude, you're totally ripping off. You took all that from me, playing gigs where people don't show up. That's my bit. Don't steal my bit. Somebody in this family's going to sell records.
Hey, remember when we played the Highline Ballroom?
Yes.
In New York City?
Yes.
See? That was an awesome gig.
That was an awesome gig.
You don't remember those gigs. You remember the gig in Little Rock.
I do remember the gig in Little Rock.
Yeah. When you think
Juanitas,
yes. When someone
which
says,
actually the people Juanitas was a great venue, and the people that run that place are awesome. The food's great. Mm-hmm. The sound guy did a good job. There was 8 people there.
Like when you say, when someone says Jay Severett live show U.S., that's what you think of. You don't think of the Highline Ballroom first. Why am I Mr. Positive today? I don't know.
It's very disconcerting. I like it. I like it.
I think it may have something to do with last night's.
Did we make a love connection?
I did.
Yeah, I wasn't saying we, meaning me and you. To be young and single and Caucasian in America.
You are young and single and Caucasian in America.
I'm not technically single.
That's right.
I'm not technically single. I'm still legally married. I don't think I can talk about that.
Ooh, yeah. We should probably stay away from that.
Yeah, probably should.
That'll get us down the same path that we went before when we had to stop
because
we started talking about that we shouldn't talk about.
Yeah, exactly. So what are you going to be listening to while we're on the road when you put your headphones on? What are you going to be I think Dan listens to Rain. He has like several hours of Rain that he listens to.
Well, Jason and I both snore.
Yeah, we do.
It's
lusty abandon.
It's a passionate, stentorian affair. Yes, exactly.
And we both have mild sleep apnea, so if we wake the other one up, we're a little concerned our buddy's going
to
die.
Yes. I have woken up on tour at least twice, once to you yelling at me, and once Derek was yelling at me, Dan, turn over! I'm like, why is everyone yelling at me? Where am I? Am I in Australia? Fuck.
Is that a kangaroo outside my window?
What is going on? Why is the world upside down? And yeah, so I need to sleep on my side. But all I need to do is pop my headphones in and turn on that Rain sound, and you're gone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've got the Brian Eno I like, but really what I often listen to sleep will be, I bought this record in like 1991. I bought it on CD, and it's a Leonard Bernstein and the New York Philharmonic, and it's, romantic strings or whatever. So it's like a greatest hits of romantic period.
I need to get that.
It's got Adagio for strings. It's got which is my least favorite track on the whole thing, but it's awesome.
Wait, Barber?
Yeah, it's got Barber.
Oh, I heard that.
It's got Tchaikovsky.
Skirmerhorn.
Oh, did you really?
Yeah.
How was that?
It was amazing.
Skirmerhorn is the symphony house here in Nashville, Tennessee.
Yes, which is hurting, so go to the Skirmerhorn.
Yeah, you should. I think Taylor Swift just gave them like $100,000.
Yeah.
Which does not make up for the records.
No.
But I do applaud it.
It's a good start.
It is a good start.
But this was when they were, well, they're still putting together. When I lived in Philadelphia, like the Philadelphia Orchestra was way past.
City name dropper.
When I lived in Philadelphia,
after attending Haverford,
they were way past doing like Beethoven's Fifth. They're like, oh, I'm not doing that top 40 shit.
Right.
Not so with the Skirmerhorn when they're trying to bring people in the door.
Right.
Barber's Adagio for Strings and Beethoven's Fifth.
Asses in Seats.
That was a good show.
Yeah, I don't think there's anything wrong. I think it's cool if you want to go on a, you know, some obscure stuff. But I think you should give the people something. I mean, it's not like, you know, the audience is growing for opera and classical music, symphonic music. So give them the hit.
Exactly.
It's like me playing a gig and not playing Bad Things. It's like, well, yeah, you can do that. People are going to hate you.
Yeah.
I don't get that.
Yeah, as far as classical music goes, I'm totally like top 40 pop guy.
Well, like when you're Beethoven, talking about an 11-minute song that doesn't really repeat.
Yeah.
Unless you've studied it.
Mm-hmm. Yes, indeed.
I like that stuff. Well, you went to the opera when we were in, where were we? We were in London.
We were in London. Yeah, I went to
Don Giovanni.
I did do it. Yeah.
Yeah. That's a good one.
It is good. But you told me, you're like, you need to listen to Puccini, right?
Yeah.
And then I did check out some Puccini, and you're right.
Some good stuff.
That is the shit.
Yeah, he was not a chump.
No.
Not a chump.
Good stuff.
Yeah, my ex-mother-in-law is an opera fanatic, and she turned me on to some good stuff.
Yeah, so my sleepy music, my plain music also, too, when I'm aggravated, which is whenever
when you're
I'm
on a plane,
near a plane, right, or in an airport, more like. But I think you're the same as me. It's not planes that bother me so much as airports and getting on and off of.
No, I'm actually not a good flyer because of claustrophobia.
That's true. Yeah. Chopin nocturnes,
nice,
and Goldberg variations.
Oh, you know what you need to check out, because my son Jacques has become a pretty awesome little piano player.
That's
he's
true.
Only been playing for a couple of years, and he's
Jace. He just had a birthday, and Jace gave him a Nord keyboard, which is sitting right over there. And there was a tiny little video you posted of him playing. But yeah, he's
Chopin is his guy. He's got this
E flat.
Yeah, he did that, and then he's doing a new nocturne. Well, new to me, Nocturne 15, Opus 54, I want to say. That's really good.
Oh, and I also like the Bach cello suites.
Yes,
but the Bach
Welcome
cello
to our
suites,
classical music podcast, Dan Cohen and Jace Everett.
Yeah, but like I'm such, it's so like stereotypical, because like this is the music that I listen to go to sleep or to calm down. It's not like I'm really listening to it.
Yeah, exactly. Because if you don't know the piece, if you're not a classical musician or a critic or whatever really educated in it, you can't follow it, because it's, you know, 5, 6, 19 minutes long, and this barrage of different, it goes through 14 key changes, and you can, you know.
Yeah. I think in the classical music world, like what I like is the equivalent of, oops, I did it again.
Yeah. Yeah. It's the Britney Spears.
She loves you. Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And you know what? I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
I'm okay with that. Yundi Lee, I believe his name is.
Does the Chopin?
Yeah. Jacques's a huge fan. This guy, there's this one record, Philharmonia Orchestra, Sir Andrew Davis and Yundi Lee, and he does Liszt and Chopin concertos that are, the guy's just, he really knows his Chopin, and it's really good. And then there's the Pogues right there under him. They do not play a lot of Chopin. So that's what we're going to be listening to in the van, on the plane, in the hotel room, and that's that. So we're trying to figure out how to do this, why do this. I don't know if 12 people are going to listen to this or 1,200, but we don't really care, because, you know, we're just hanging out, having a good time, talking
hey
into
guys.
Microphones.
Hey, everybody. I'm Dan Cohen. DanCohenMusic.com.
Yeah. JaceEverett.com.
Yeah.
Why did you have to go Dan Cohen Music? Is there a multitude of
there are a lot
Jewish
of
lawyers.
Oh yeah, there's a Dan Cohen is a hugely common name among the Jews.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And you're not a Jew.
I have Jewish blood, but I'm not a Jew because my grandfather was a Russian Jew, but he married an Irish Catholic woman, and that was the end of that. Except for the name goes on.
No, I don't understand how that works. Barack Obama.
Not a Jew.
And not a Jew, by the way. Not a Jew. Because he's a Muslim, obviously.
Oh, yeah.
No, his dad is...
Wherever he's from.
Wherever he's from, he's a goddamn Muslim.
Born in.
That's right. Yep. Anyway, his father, African, from Kenya. His mother, Caucasian from, like, Oklahoma or Ohio or something. Anyway, grew up in Hawaii, raised by his white mother mm-hmm. and his white grandparents.
Great golfer.
But he's black.
Oh, wait, that's Tiger Woods.
But, yeah, and he's Kablasian.
That's
Tiger
right.
Tiger Woods is Kablasian. Anyway, but follow my illogical thread here. Mm. So Barack Obama, who's at least 50% Caucasian and raised 90% Caucasian,
yeah.
is black. Mm. But you are not a Jew.
Yeah.
I have a theory about this.
Ooh.
If you had
Jay's theory,
a great grandfather that was African or African American,
at the sound of the tone,
go to sleep. If your skin color was dark, like Barack Obama's skin color is dark, you would be black in this country.
Yeah,
doesn't matter if you were mostly Caucasian, you would be considered black in this country. Which to me just means that this country is racist as shit.
It is very racist, yeah.
So why, your name is Daniel Cohen.
Yeah, it's hard to get more Jewish than
that. That's super Jewy.
Yeah, which I love. I mean, but, I don't understand because I wasn't raised Jewish, I've not understood ever the idea of Jewishness as a race or Jewish blood versus the religion. Like I know that the religion comes down through the mother.
Yeah, it's matriarchal as far as the faith goes.
Yeah, but I the rest of it, I just.
I don't either because they're the same people as the Palestinians.
Yeah,
literally.
Yeah,
they're
the people of the book.
Even you go into the Bible, and which we won't do, I promise.
Well, I kind of felt like it might be leaning that way, and I was just going to...
Jeez. Hate this guy. But, I agree with you totally. It's like, I don't understand how that works. Yeah. I guess we can't speak to this because we're ignorant, and you're not allowed to speak to things you don't know about.
Oh, that's not true.
Unless you're on a cable news program, exactly. And then you can.
Yes. Unless you have a microphone in front of you.
That's right, and this is Jason Dan talking into microphones,
that's
so
right.
We can do whatever we want.
That's right.
Yeah, and no one's listening. This is 22 minutes in.
Yeah, and, Benjamin Franklin said, never pick a fight with somebody who buys ink by the barrel. Which doesn't have anything to do with anything, but... Don't pick a fight with us because we have a podcast.
Yeah, and what greater power in America or the world is there now besides a podcast?
Because I mean, how many podcasts could there be?
Eight? Probably nine podcasts.
Yeah.
Should we look that up? Let's
probably.
Not. Let's not look that up.
We shouldn't look that up. That would be very. See, I told you it was going to be a problem doing a podcast if I was either. If I couldn't remember words, talk words, vocabulary words.
That's fine.
I can't even remember any Dothraki words.
Dothraki. Dan is really into Game of Thrones, the HBO program, based upon the books by...
Yes. George R. R. Martin. He's a pirate.
Does he have two middle initials that are R?
Yeah.
George R. R. Martin.
Yeah, I don't know.
Was he worried that people would think the Beatles were behind Game of Thrones?
That's what I think. Yes, yeah. I think that's what he was worried about.
All you need is dragons, dragons,
dragons, dragons, dragons.
They haven't shown the dragons yet this season, which is, have they? They did the first episode.
What happens in the books is that he in the fourth and fifth books starts to, well, in the third book, he actually starts to spiral off with these ancillary characters and spending a lot of time talking about
brand new people. That's already happening in
that
the show.
We don't know about, and it's, I know that he wants to create this world and have it be completely, you know, you're immersed in this total world, but I want to hear about Tyrion and dragons, and I want to hear about the main characters, and he keeps killing them off.
I think that's the deal, though. There isn't a main character.
Well,
you know what I mean?
The main character is the world.
You can't just keep killing them off, though. Also, I'm worried he's going to die before he gets
Daenerys
Westeros.
He does not look good.
And
she's still not over there in the books?
No. No, and he's catching, you know, rations of shit about this from everybody. And he's like, I know what I'm doing. And, okay, but, you know, also, it's not like it's great literature. I mean, they're well-written books, but, you know.
Yeah, so is John Grisham.
It's plot-driven stuff.
Yeah, The Firm was a well-written book as far as that goes. It's not going to be confused with Dostoevsky.
But the show, they have to cull it down. They have to take out a lot of that stuff and concentrate on the main stuff. So in that sense, the show's kind of
better.
Yeah.
Well, and the nudity is a lot better on the show than it is in the books,
really
I find.
Is. Yes.
I find.
Except for the gay stuff, which I you know, I'm fine. If I have no problem with homosexuality. I don't like it. Just ekes me out when I have to look at it.
You're just a little homophobic.
Yeah, I guess I am.
When
it comes right down to it.
I totally get it.
I don't want to watch two dudes making out and touching
each
other's
butts. But you're
totally
fine watching two girls make out, I bet.
Yep, more than fine.
Yeah, that's. I've talked about that with a few different friends, and I guess you know we've talked about it and talked about it, and what it boils down to is I'm just a little homophobic.
Yeah, I guess.
I am 100% for gay rights across the board. I feel that they should have every right that I have completely.
Yeah.
Because.
Me too. I guess.
You just don't want to watch them make out.
Yeah, I guess when it comes right down to it, it's basically just weird to me. I'm a heterosexual, so it would be, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
I mean...
Yeah, I would imagine there's probably gay men that really don't like to watch a guy and a girl get down.
Yeah.
I would think.
I think that would be gross.
But...
Yeah, butts are awesome.
No. But I would imagine at some point in your life... You have run across what they call the porn. I'm not saying you've personally sought it out, but you've probably walked in a room where other people
this
were looking.
This porn you speak of, it's naked people, pictures of naked people, or videos.
It can be any number. It could be audio.
That's what I've heard it described as.
Yes, and it will sometimes in a visual format might. Include a man with a woman engaging in some sort of frolicking or activity.
Yeah.
If you were to walk in a room and that happened to be on a screen and you caught it out of your peripheral vision, would it offend you as much as seeing two guys? If the two guys were on that screen or if it was a guy and a girl on that screen?
Well, we just don't know. I would never... Look at any pornographic material.
I said out of your peripheral vision.
Ever.
I understand.
Oh, you
that.
Mean like somebody else's tour bus and it was.
Exactly. On. Exactly. If you were getting off of our tour bus, which is a Honda minivan, and walking by, say, Travis Tritt's tour bus,
right.
When we play shows together, because we kind of have the same audience.
All those shows. Yeah. Yeah, gay porn freaks me out. I don't like it.
I've never seen it, so I wouldn't know. But it's good to know what you're looking at. Anyway, moving on.
See, I knew it was going to get there at some point anyway, so I just thought I'd just say.
So we've got.
Wait, are we done with porn? We're not.
I think we should be, lest one of us say something that we can't retract. You know, because once it's out there, man, it's permanent record time.
That's true.
And
Jace
said
he's not editing.
And I don't want people to know how much gay porn I look at.
Now, are you not editing because you feel an
this
artistic
authenticity
yes. Or are you just a lazy fuck?
I think being a lazy fuck is artistically authentic to me. I think that's part of my artistry, is that I really don't do much.
I think as long as you stick to that, then that will be reality.
I probably won't be able to stick to that because I have trouble sticking to things.
Well.
But I'm going to... What was that? Did I get
it? I don't know.
I got mail. Yeah, man. I just think it's kind of jive to edit. I mean, we're going to be doing dispatches from the road.
Yes.
It'll just be us.
Dispatches. I like that.
Yeah, just talking. Right now, we're Jason Dan talking into microphones, but later on, we'll be Jason Dan talking into an iPhone. And it'll sound just awful, but it won't matter because very few people will ever hear it.
That's true.
Good point. Dan and I will probably be the only people that listen to this.
No, I'm not listening to this. Fuck that.
I think our moms will listen to this, and then we're going to be really upset about all the porn talk and F-bombs we've dropped.
Oh,
so,
my mom knows about the porn. Oh, did you know, speaking of porn, my grandfather had some Playboys in their bathroom. Like, he had like three of them, and one of them was from like 1968.
Wow.
Yeah, big.
Yeah, I know.
Bush land. But Shel Silverstein wrote for Playboy.
Oh, yeah, hugely. He was a huge contributor.
Sort of a travel writer, but basically like a drug writer.
Yeah.
And man, I read those articles.
He was an intense writer.
After
he finished.
In the warm afterglow. Okay, so anyway, we got this.
Did you look at those pictures and say, hey, that lady's probably dead?
Yes.
Or at least really old.
Yeah.
Shel Silverstein, who, do you know that, you know, everybody talks about Johnny Cash. I was thinking about this the other day. He's obviously one of my heroes. I rip him off every chance I get, as everyone knows. And, you know, everybody loves Johnny Cash, the man in black, this Billy Badass, you know, gallows guy. And, you know what his only, I think it was his only number one hit, but maybe not his only number one, but his biggest hit. A Boy Named Sue. Written by Shel Silverstein. Yeah.
Didn't he write another one, too?
Oh, I'm sure.
I think it was the song about sneaking the car out of the...
Yeah, I can't remember if that's Shel or if Johnny wrote that. I can't remember. What's the name of that song? One
Piece at a Time?
One Piece at a Time, I think. I have to look that up.
The idea is Shel, but the actual like writing doesn't seem like him. It's...
Yeah, it's a little...
It's like the Dr. Seuss paintings that aren't as... He had some like erotic paintings that aren't as obviously as well known as the places we'll go.
Wayne Kemp. It was a number one on the country singles chart in 76. It sounds so much older than that.
Yeah, it really does.
It sounds a lot older than that. I thought that was like an early 60s tune.
Yeah, well, when you think that, didn't Songs in the Key of Life come out in like 76?
Yeah.
75, 76.
We just got that on vinyl. We did.
Really?
Yeah. Songs in the Key of Life.
How many albums is it? Is it two?
I think it's a double record. I think it's a double record.
Yeah.
Jack just got it. We listened to it the other day. It's good. It's a good record. I'm glad he did that. God, 33 minutes of this shit.
I know. I
wonder if anyone's listening at all.
Hello?
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 Why don't we mention some dates while we're wasting everyone's time? You've got all the dates handy, don't you?
I did, but I can't get on your internet anymore. There's a little dinosaur. There's an 8-bit dinosaur telling me unable to connect to the internet.
Really? Why?
No, I have like corrosive fingers as far as devices go. If I touch them for too long, they just disappear and die.
No. That's not true.
It's not true.
I'll mention my dates while you figure out your life.
Thank you.
April 22nd, Dan and I will be doing the duo thing in Belfast at the Errigal Inn. April 23rd, we will be in Dublin City playing at Whelan's in the Upper Room, I think. That's, again, just Jace and Dan. Then on April 24th, we will be at Hare and Hounds in Birmingham, England. Then on April 25th, Kevin and Casey will join us on bass and drums,
yay,
respectively, and we will be rocking the full band at Academy 3 in Manchester in the UK. Then on April 26th, we will be in Leeds at the Wardrobe, live at Leeds with the band. April 27th, we will be in Brighton playing at The Hope. And I'm hoping that I'll run into Nick Cave, and he's hoping that I won't.
Does he live in Brighton?
He does.
Oh.
Oh, the irony of that.
Don't you send him a tweet?
I don't think Nick Cave's on Twitter.
Send him a face tweet.
I don't think he's on the Facebook.
LinkedIn.
I'll send him a LinkedIn request. I'll send him a LinkedIn request. I'd like him to be part of my LinkedIn network because I'm sure he's on LinkedIn. By the way, if you use LinkedIn, go fuck yourself. And please do not request me to join you on LinkedIn because I do not work in a cubicle.
Do you think Nick Cave is on Airbnb?
Probably.
Do you think we could stay at his place?
Probably. Probably. I'm sure he would be down with that. He's super personable. And I'm sure I'm sure he'd want us in his fucking personal space. Oh, yeah, guys, come on in. Can I get you a cup of tea? And then he would stab us both in the neck. On April 28th, we will be in Norwich. And that's with a silent W. Ooh. What Americans would say Norwich, but it's Norwich, and at the Arts Center. And then on April 29th, you'll notice there's no days off here. On April 29th, I'll be in Nottingham with the band and Dan playing at the Maze, which is a great venue, small venue, cool venue. We love that place.
And Maid Marian will be there.
Maid Marian.
Little John.
Little John is always with us. Mm-hmm. And then on April 30th, we will be down in London Town at the Borderline.
London, England.
London, England. Good day, mate.
Good day, mate.
And then we will be on April 1st, we will be in Bristol at St. Bonaventure's.
May 1st.
Yeah, May 1st. Is that what it said?
You said April 1st.
Oh, shit. April Fools. May 1st, we will be in Bristol at St. Bonaventure's Social Club. We've played there before. Those are good people.
They are.
And then May 2nd, we will be in Oxford because we are both graduating, and we're going to play at the Arts Bar also.
Are we getting honorary degrees?
Yes,
we are. At last? Yeah. Long last.
Yeah, we're Rhodes Scholars.
What a fucking time.
Yeah, it really is. And then we will have a glorious day off where we will enjoy the Channel and all that it has to offer, and I will be having mild panic attacks. But then May 4th, we will be in Paris.
How long is the Channel? How long does it take?
Oh, too long. I don't have any idea. I would think 30 minutes, maybe.
Oh.
30 or 40 minutes. It's like a bullet train type vibe, you know?
But you're under the...
Under the sea. Under the sea. I don't know how it works. I watched the Mission Impossible movie where they flew the helicopter down there. I don't feel good about it. But that's what we're going to do. And May 4th, we're going to play the last full band show in Paris at Divan du Monde, which we've never played. We've never played Paris, so I'm super stoked about that. Mm-hmm. Then Dan and I will get, we will be waiting on a train, mm-hmm. and that's all, and take a train to nice. Barcelona. On May 6th, we'll be in Barcelona at Rock Sound. On May 7th, again, these are duo dates. May 7th, we'll be in Zaragoza.
Saragossa.
Saragossa.
There's no Z sound in Spanish.
Oh, fuck off. At La Le Seca.
Well, I took it in high school, so I have to...
Well, I worked in a kitchen in high school with Mexicans, and they don't give a shit how you say it. So
there won't be any Mexicans there.
I Facebooked or tweeted, here's some Spanish dates. Can't wait to go. Tacos for everybody. And I was inundated with people who really wanted to correct
Dude,
me. That
you can't be ironic on
that
the
there's
internet.
No tacos in Spain. And I said, first of all, I bet you anything there are tacos in Spain.
Yeah, there are. There are hot dogs, too.
Yeah. And probably cheeseburgers.
Yeah.
But it was a joke, people. I know that Mexican food is not Spanish food.
It's not going to work, man. You can't. There's no irony
people,
on the internet. There's no.
You know when you. Don't you love when you post a link to something that's like an article that you're like, man, this is fascinating, or a slideshow? And you're like, check this out. You post it, and within a nanosecond, you've got 12 likes and a comment.
Yeah, and like, and you couldn't have read that.
There's like, no right. Dude, you didn't. And you're like, oh, that's a great article. It's like, yeah. No, you didn't read it.
Yeah.
Oh. Anyway, May 8th, we will be in Madrid at the Hard Rock Cafe, and we will be rocking pretty hard.
Yeah.
And on
Spanish.
May 9th, hey, Chico Español.
Podemos rocar.
Is this a Lierganes?
Lierganes.
Lierganes.
There's an accent over the Lierganes. It may be Lierganes.
Lierganes? I can't roll an R.
Lierganes.
Okay. That's what I got to do. I have to do it with my actual throat. Yeah. And then that's May 9th. The May 10th, the last show for me of this little European jaunt, is in Bilbao at Umore Ona.
Mm-hmm.
I'm mispronouncing everything. I don't even care.
Bilbao.
Because all I care about is the tacos and gorditas that I'll be eating in Spain. Do they have Dorito shells over there, I hope?
Oh, yeah, man.
Good.
Scoops?
Oh, scoops, yeah. Them, yeah. Tostito scoops.
Oh, yeah. And
you got any salsa?
So looking forward to the food in Spain.
Oh, it's going to be great. It's going to be killer.
So amazing.
But what about in England? Oh, the food. Oh,
the food. The food.
Seriously,
the
guys, get your shit together with the food. You're killing us.
Meat pies.
We love you, but you've got to get off the meat and bread thing. That I know vegetables are hard to grow.
Yeah.
I know it's hard.
It can be done, though.
But a white potato is not a vegetable.
Yeah.
It's not. It's part of the deadly nightshade family, as a matter of fact.
I don't think we saw a green vegetable for...
Dude, there was like a six-day run where we couldn't find a vegetable with a Geiger counter.
No.
Not that that's what you use to find a vegetable, but...
Not something you want to eat, anyway.
No, but we had one, so we used it.
Well, yeah.
Cannot find your waitress with a Geiger counter.
Why would you not bring a Geiger counter with you?
I don't know. So those are the dates that I'm doing. Those are Jace Everett dates that you can see at jaceeverett.com/shows.
Jaceeverett.com.
Do it. And now, Dan, I'm going away after the 10th. I'm coming back to the States because my son is graduating high school, and my ex-wife and her parents are coming to stay with us. And I'm actually looking forward to that. I'm going to have some French people staying with me, and it's going to be super great. So I'm going to be living in Nashville with Frenchies. And you're going to do what, Dan?
I'm very sorry that I'm missing Jack's graduation, which is the 12th, 13th?
14th? The 21st.
21st, yeah.
His mother shows up the 13th, so I need to be back for that.
Yeah. I am going to be going up to Norway, though, to do some Dan Cohen solo shows.
Norge.
Disse herren vil betale for all drinker.
I will not be there to buy all your drinks.
No, he won't.
And that's you don't drink.
And I don't drink.
Yeah, but guys, don't buy Dan shots, okay?
Yeah, because then Jace ends up having to drink them, and then he gets fucked up.
I do. And then I pee a little bit on myself before the show's even over.
Yes.
So
and
Dan's
then I have to deal with him
and
after
Dan's
the show.
Dan's got to clean me up.
It's all very fun for you guys, watching him get hammered on stage.
Then Dan's got to drive me around and bathe me.
Wheelbarrow out and dump him off in the trough, and it's a big mess. I have to find a trough.
And those are harder to come by in some places.
It's not like on Game of Thrones where everybody has a wheelbarrow and a trough. And
you're getting off topic! You've got dates in Norway. Right. Dan Cohen's got a new record called Bluebird, which is legitimately fantastic.
Thank you.
It came out April 15th, 2014. You can get it on the iTunes. You can get it on CD format. It's really a legitimately great record, great songwriting. Dan produced it himself. Brad Jones mixed it, and Brad Jones works on all my records. So it's got some of that cool stuff happening. But Dan played most of the instruments. Derek Mixon played a lot of drums. James Cook played a lot of bass.
Mm-hmm.
And Dan played a lot of everything and wrote most of it by yourself. I think there's one song you wrote with Matt King and one song you wrote with me.
There's one, yeah, Pennsylvania, that I wrote with you.
And then you and Matt wrote Bluebird.
We wrote Bluebird, and he wrote, he helped with Don't Make Me Wait. What I did was I wrote all of the music and the melody, but I was singing nonsense lyrics, and I sent him a little file of me going, Sounded Frank and Tansy Frank, when the flowers are needed, man, send a flower, but tears and tea. But he thought I was saying words, so he wrote out what he thought the word. He's like, dude, I couldn't make out what you were saying in this second verse. And I was like,
were you drinking at the time?
No.
No?
I was like, dude, I wasn't saying anything. He's like, oh, well, here's what I heard. And I was like, this is great.
Well, that's like automatic writing.
Yes.
Very very Ouija board of you. I like that.
And then Doug Powell and I wrote Ragdoll.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. The great Doug Powell. And that is a great song, Ragdoll.
Yes.
Powell's good people. Writer.
So I'm going up to Norway. At the end of that date, my dad's coming over to Spain and our good friend David Ernest And it's this is going to be fun.
Good.
The whole thing's going to be fun.
You want to plug the fucking dates, you idiot? Man. Jesus.
Then I go to Norway, to Bergen.
Bergen.
Bergen. To a place called Lillo Bull.
Just Lillo Bull.
The venue, kinda, I think it's Old Bull Scene is the name of the venue, but then there's a smaller venue where Lillo Bull. That's May 16th. And then in May 17th, the venue is called Snickeriet, I think. That is in Rosendal, Norway. I'm sorry, Snickeriet.
That's okay. That's,
okay. Then May 22nd, and this is where it gets really difficult because we've got this A with a little circle over it, which is O. It's an O sound. Skapobar, I think, is how you say that. In Haugesund, where played in
Haugesund. That's a good place. That's a good town.
Bluebird. The Bluebird Cafe on May 23rd in Stavanger. May 31st at Old River Saloon in...
The Old River Saloon!
In Etna or Etnesjøen.
Look, you can go to DanCohenMusic.com.
And there's even like links to these places and tickets.
Links even on my website. There's ticket link. We've done all the work for you. All you have to do is knuckle drag your way to your computer or mobile device, click away to DanCohenMusic.com or to JaySeverett.com and give us all of your money.
Yes.
We really want you to like us, but mostly we need all of your money so that we can buy things.
That's true. Yeah.
Because we need to buy some things.
Yeah. More Jace than me, but...
you call me a materialist now?
No, I'm just saying you have more stuff that you have to buy because you have like a kid and multiple stuff.
Multiple stuff.
Multiple stuffs.
Multiple wives.
Multiple households you have to support.
I'm a bigamist, I admit it. I do love the ladies.
He's a legal bigamist. He's a bigamist. He's a legal bigamist. He's a bigamist in
that is
Davidson
not true.
County.
I am not a bigamist. I really just want to be a dancer.
Yeah. So if you're in Europe and you're looking for something to do in April and May...
We've got things for you.
We're gonna be over there.
You should come see us because we're really just riddled with insecurities and we really need validation.
That's fair.
I'm mostly speaking for Dan, of course.
Thank you.
But
thanks, Jason.
It would help us out a lot.
JaySeverett.com.
I think we've talked a really long time. I feel like maybe it's even stopped recording.
Yeah, it stopped recording.
Huh.
I wonder when that happened.
I don't know if it... I don't think it has. It's still...
The counter stopped, though.
Yeah, well, I think it ran out of numbers because we've gone on for too long.
Hmm.
I don't know what's happened. But let's just pretend this is the end of the podcast, and we love you, and we mean it.
Yes, thank you for listening.
This has been Jace and Dan talking into microphones, and we're going to come see you.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks, guys.
Be good.